By May 11th, 2025, we had grown our podcast to an average of 40 downloads per episode within the first 24 hours. Just 2 weeks later, on May 25th, we hit 689 downloads on the new episode that we published that day. That's an increase of over 1,600%. How did we do that? Well, we used paid podcast ads, paying to get your podcast in front of the right people and hoping they subscribe. Now, if you've been following us for a while, you'll recall back in February of 2025, we published an episode after spending money on testing five different podcast promotion methods. We outlined then what worked and what didn't for us. So today I am here with the results of even more testing and further insights, and I'll explain how we had that 1600% jump. This is Profits Through Podcasting, where we help health-focused entrepreneurs generate leads and revenue for their businesses through podcasting. I'm your host, Joel Oliver. Now, before we get started, I do want to mention the same thing that I said last time. Paying for podcast promotion isn't necessarily the right move for everybody. It depends on your situation and your goals. So I will link to that previous episode in the show notes if you want to hear a little more about that. I won't go over it again today. You can always get in touch with me to discuss it as well. And also, our next solo episode, I'm going to be discussing if podcast growth is even the right strategy for you right now. If it should be your priority right now. But for the rest of the episode, let's assume that you have determined that, yes, it does make sense for you to try to grow your podcast, try to do some paid promotion. And we're going to look at some helpful insights when it comes to paying to promote your podcast with these services. The conclusion at the end of the other episode was that we had determined what worked well for us in that situation and what didn't. And therefore, I felt equipped with the data that I needed to do more of what worked and not do any more of what didn't. Okay, I really didn't need to look beyond that. Just based on our budget, we didn't need to do anything else. We had what worked. So what we found at that time did work really well for us was Overcast ads. Overcast is a podcast listening and discovery app, not unlike Apple Podcasts or Spotify, but it has some unique features and reasons why people choose to use it. With Overcast, you can purchase ads in various categories. You're not limited to the category of your podcast. Prices vary, being higher in the categories with higher demand. But once a category opens up, the price will reduce a little at a time until somebody buys it. So what I mean there about the categories is, let's say that you have a business podcast. You can actually buy an ad in the kids and family category to advertise your business podcast. And I'll discuss more in here, kind of a refresher on why you might want to do that. But it's unique in that sense because not all the other apps allow that kind of flexibility when choosing your categories. So since that last episode, we had basically been running Overcast ads almost nonstop. And interestingly, as I just touched upon, we did not use the obvious choice of category for us, either business or health and fitness. For our particular podcast, where you might think it fits in the best, we actually tested some of the lowest cost categories. Those included fiction, music, and the kids and family category. And for whatever reason, these actually worked pretty well, even better than our initial test in health and fitness, which I would obviously assume would be one of the best. We have a podcast about podcasting and marketing for health and wellness entrepreneurs. Now, it's a bit of a niche. Of course, health and fitness is not the exact match, because just because someone's out there listening to a podcast about how to eat well doesn't mean they have a business or a podcast or anything to do with what we'd be talking about. But in terms of just trying to pick from the categories available, I would have thought that one would work pretty well. But it actually turned out that it didn't perform as good as some of the other ones that seemingly are very unrelated. So your results might vary. But for us, these lower cost categories have actually worked quite well for advertising our podcast and have contributed quite heavily to the growth of our show. A lot of the listenership has come through Overcast. About half of all listens now, actually, well, up until we had this other big change, which I'll get to later in this episode. But yeah, it was about half of all the listens were coming from Overcast every week. So whatever is going on there, the ads seemed to work, and we were able to reach people who were initially interested in the podcast enough to click and then subscribe and then stay subscribed. The campaigns that we ran on Overcast in the various categories have cost typically between $140 and $180 US dollars, and we get roughly a 2% conversion rate. So people who hit subscribe basically works out to about $8 per subscriber. So overall, I'm quite happy with Overcast, and that's why we kept it going. I did assume at some point it would burn out and need a break, just because it would become saturated and there'd be nobody left to still want to subscribe to our podcast who hasn't done it already through the ads. But it really hadn't as of yet. However, we did decide to just take a break after, I think it was 5 consecutive months. Not for any real reason. We do plan to use them again. I just thought we would change it up and allocate the budget elsewhere for a bit. Because although we were still seeing those numbers roll in, I didn't feel like it was doing anything groundbreaking for us anymore. I didn't see a bunch of data showing that people were engaging with us or clicking links, that sort of thing. So I thought, let's just shift that budget around and see if we get different results elsewhere doing something else. That's all. But I definitely will return to Overcast. Also, since the last episode, we ran another Podcast Addict campaign, and that is also a podcast listening and discovery app. It's okay. I did about the same as our first campaign with them. The downside that I find with Podcast Addict is you can only advertise in the category your podcast is in. As I mentioned with Overcast, that was a bit of a unique thing that it didn't work that way. So with Podcast Addict, there's no way to experiment on any lower cost categories. You have to use the category that your podcast is listed in. And for us, that is the business category. It cost us $350 and we got 17 subscribers according to them. And that works out to about $20 per subscriber. Now, are they higher quality subscribers? I don't know, but the pricing clearly is much higher than Overcast. It's over double, actually. And we're not doing a fair comparison here because I'm not comparing it to Overcast business category. But nevertheless, if we just want to take the numbers at face value that the platforms give us, Overcast was able to deliver subscribers for less money. So I got to go with that. I wish I could really have 100% certainty in the data, but I just got to go with what we have here. And for the reasons that I've mentioned, I haven't run any additional Podcast Addict campaigns, but it's certainly worth considering if you're starting out, trying the different ones and seeing where you get results, seeing if you get more engagement from subscribers on a certain platform, if you can track that somehow. It's kind of difficult to track, but overall, after some time, you can kind of see if you're getting new leads and buyers. You can ask, hey, where did you hear about this? And just even through word of mouth and them telling you, you might be able to figure out that one app helped you more than another. So with all that said, it brings me to our first service that we had not tested before that I'm going to talk about today. We did not test this one last time. It's our first time trying it out. It is called Castro. And this is also a podcast listening and discovery app, quite similar to the others that we tested before and the couple that I just talked about. Castro lets you purchase 1 week at a time as opposed to monthly campaigns. It's $199 for the week. And their whole advertising section was a little bit vague, in my opinion. There was no category selection. They have a couple types of ads that I wasn't fully clear on. Now, maybe that ease of use is better where it just you have less options to pick from. You just set it up and go. The one that I ended up selecting was in what they call the inbox of the app. So that displays the user's new episodes and your podcast gets shown in there. Supposedly from this campaign, we got 60 subscribers, which puts it at just over $3 per subscriber. Now that is a great price compared to the other ones that we looked at so far. I was a little skeptical initially. I thought it's probably a little high when you look at what we got from the other services and compared to the stats that I saw on our feed. But looking at it now over time, I think it was probably legitimate because as I've kind of the theme throughout this and the last episode has been, we can't necessarily verify all of this data. The platforms are telling us one thing. We don't know for sure, especially when it comes to subscribers. You don't really have your own exact subscriber count. So you have to balance with what the platforms tell you and then what you see with your own eyes. And it looks fairly reasonable when we compare what each platform told us and then what the downloads are from those platforms in the weeks following the campaign. This looks all right to me with Castro. So the subscribers were quite low cost and it seems like they're hanging around. We still get downloads from there every week. So I don't know why, if it just happens that there's more of our ideal clients on or subscribers on Castro, not sure. But if this is all legitimate, I'm pretty happy with that campaign, actually. And we haven't run another one since. But now that I'm talking about it, I definitely would try out another one. So that's on my radar for sure. The next one is Player FM, another podcast app. And the difference with Player FM and the other ones that we've talked about, the other platforms we've tested, is Player FM actually reached out to me, but they were not aware of this podcast. They were not coming to say, please try this out and publish the results. They were just doing some friendly cold outreach and happened upon my profile. I guess they knew that there was a podcast there, but they didn't know that we had done these episodes looking at the advertising platforms or anything like that. That they didn't come to me with that intent. They just saw another potential customer and offered me to try out the service. So I was happy to do that. And I actually had a call with their rep. I didn't even disclose that I was going to be testing it up until a certain point. So I paid full price for the campaign. There was nothing free, nothing like that. We're not an affiliate and they've had no input on this episode whatsoever. I just wanted to provide full disclosure that they were the ones that originally reached out to me and I hadn't considered their app. I know I had heard of it before, but in terms of this advertising stuff that we've done, I just didn't think to look them up. It's been a while. So I'm glad that they made me aware of their app. Now, the first thing that I want to note here is that crazy stat that I opened the show with about how insanely high our download numbers jumped. That was because of this Player FM campaign. So let's get into this a little bit and start out with their campaign and costs. Player FM does have some higher ticket offerings if that's what you're looking for, but they do also have a self-serve model at a lower cost. And that's what we tried out because I wanted to keep it comparable to the other platforms. I could be mistaken, but I think this self-serve part was a newer thing. So originally it had only been accessible to higher level advertisers and not so much people who are just looking to spend a few hundred dollars on a campaign. So that may be why they're coming around now. I'm not entirely sure on that, but I think that was the case. So in this self-serve tier, you can select packages from $250 up to $2,000. And we went with the $250 because that was in the ballpark of the other platforms. I like to test the lowest cost thing and see what we get from that. And the way it works with them is just the more you pay, the more impressions you get. Otherwise, it's all the same concept. You're getting the exact same ads. You just get displayed more and more people see it. They do show sample ad placements clearly on their site, which I really like because you get to see exactly what you get, where your ad is going to be shown in the app. Similar to these other apps that we've talked about this episode, the ads are non-intrusive. They are not audio ads. They just show up in various places in the app when the users are browsing or looking at things. So it doesn't interrupt their podcast and there's no audio portion. They're not hearing anything. It's just there in the app. So the numbers here for our $250 two-week campaign, that's how long it was, according to Player FM's stats, we got a whopping 3,278 subscribers and 2,814 downloads. Now, I didn't give any of the campaign numbers for the other platforms in this episode because we went over all that already in the first episode. So I didn't want to say the same thing again, but if you want to compare, go back and check out that other episode about the paid ads and you can compare. The results from Player FM were quite high when we look at subscribers. I mean, that was massive. Over 3,200 subscribers. Very, very big. Now, even once I started seeing the downloads roll in on our stats service, I was astonished and naturally a little curious if these were actually all legitimate, because it was so much higher than the other platforms that we had advertised on. And as you know, we didn't spend really any extra. It was the same ballpark in price. It was massive. I opened the stats and I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw all the downloads on that episode. I do find it interesting how we got more subscribers than downloads. Maybe that's just a thing. You would think that if someone's going to subscribe, they would have heard an episode first, but whatever. Okay, that was interesting. And the number overall seems really high for a niche podcast like ours. We're just the type of content that we have. We're for health and wellness entrepreneurs who have podcasts. I was a little surprised that we just run a campaign like that and over 3,000 people immediately wanted to subscribe to the podcast. But in any case, whatever those numbers are, it's the retention that I really care about and what's really going to show the truth as the weeks progress. Do we lose all of those subscribers? Are we seeing any increase in the actual downloads week to week? Right? That's really what we can judge this by. I was advised, or I saw in their content with Player FM, they have a 40% subscriber retention rate over 30 days. So essentially they're saying that of all the subscribers that you see show up on that campaign, 30 days later, you should still have 40% of them. So we're going to lose 60% and whatever, that's par for the course. So that'd be how many people actually stick around on average if you pay for a campaign. And you get a ton of downloads during it, you get a ton of subscribers, but you're wondering who's going to actually be here afterwards. You know, if they completely all drop off, you do the campaign, and then at the end of, say, a 30-day cycle, you have the same number of listeners as you did before the campaign, that's not very good. So that was all the real test. Now, we're not quite 30 days out of the campaign yet, but I have been able to get some numbers from our episodes that went live after the Player FM campaign had ended, like 2-3 weeks after, and they're still higher for sure. There was absolutely a drop off from that peak when we had the campaign active. Again, totally expected. But for now, we are getting download numbers that are much higher than before the campaign. So I have to take that as a good thing. We'll see as time goes on. But yeah, I'm really impressed, honestly. We'll see where the dust settles. It's even difficult to compare these numbers to the other platforms because the number was so high and the cost was so low relative to the subscribers and the download numbers. So if we take their 40% number, so of our 3,200 or so subscribers that we got, 40% of that, that would leave us with 1,300 subscribers, they're suggesting, after 30 days. Now, based on download numbers I've seen so far, that doesn't really seem right to me either, because we're not getting near 1,300 additional downloads per episode. Not that you would necessarily see that exact number, but we're seeing such a lower amount than that. I'm not really buying that we got them to stick around. But again, we're a niche podcast, and I can't get too obsessed over what should or shouldn't be here with the numbers. But if you pay what you believe is a reasonable price for a campaign and you end up seeing that your stats overall stay up, and after a month people are there and you're finding that your audience is growing over time and these campaigns are boosting it and perhaps you're getting some sales through the audience, that sort of thing, I take that overall as a good thing. I know there are many people out there that will say we need better data, we need to look at it even closer, and maybe there are ways to do that. I'm not that concerned. I am open to spending some budget here, trying these things out, seeing how the numbers hold up, and looking at that over time. You definitely want to, in my opinion, have a bit of a marketing budget every month that you are able to just set aside and say, okay, it's fine if I lose this money, if you don't get anything back from it. The ultimate goal is to optimize and turn it into revenue. But I have a little bit here for experimentation, and that's the way I see these platforms. So we're just going to see over time what happens. But I don't want to get too far into the weeds on numbers. I can just see our spend versus the downloads that we get, and it looks worth it to me, unless these numbers just completely all drop off. So with all that said, I would definitely try another Player FM campaign and see if we get similar quality results every time, or if it burns out quickly and we're not getting that. And if we are able to consistently increase the downloads regularly of the episodes, like if we get to a certain point now, we do another campaign and that boosts us again and it stays there, I'd like that, especially for this type of pricing. I think it's quite good. So that's everything I've got for you this episode in terms of new data and insights on those additional platforms that I tested out. But there are a couple more I'd like to comment on that I haven't tried, but I have some thoughts about based on what I've seen. This may not be of interest to you, but if you're curious, definitely stay tuned and I'll go over my thoughts on these a couple other platforms if what we've put out there already isn't satisfying enough to you in terms of where you might like to promote your podcast, or if you've maybe seen these platforms and wondered if they're any good. So the first one is called Audience Lift. And I had known of them for a while, but I'll be honest, I didn't really understand how it worked. They place your podcast trailer as an ad on various websites, which seem to be generally high quality. And then from there, a reader could be interested in your podcast content. So imagine they're reading a news article on a website, and as they're scrolling, they see an ad, which is your podcast trailer. They click play on that, and then they become interested in your podcast. That's how these work. The downside that I saw with Audience Lift is it didn't let the user subscribe in their favorite podcast app. Instead, what it did is set up a push notification that I later found out actually shuts off if you don't have an active campaign. I unfortunately cannot be a fan of this at all because, first of all, you're not getting subscribers on Apple or Spotify. The other platforms Yes is the same thing for, like, on Overcast. You're not getting an Apple subscriber. You're getting a subscriber on Overcast. But that is a podcast playing app. It's essentially the same thing as Apple Podcast. Person is using it for playing podcasts. So that's okay. Audience Lift is not an app. It happens within the phone itself, and it just has some kind of pop-up, just like a push notification. I still don't really understand it, although I have chatted to them about it. So I can't really get behind that, especially, like I said, once I found out that when the campaign is over, so you're not actively paying them money, the user does not get notified of your new episodes anymore. And that's how those push notifications worked, is when you publish a new episode, they get a pop-up of some sort saying, hey, there's a new episode of this podcast, and you can click to open it, I guess, in the browser and listen to it that way. When you stop paying, that stops happening. So you always have to be paying for a campaign or you lose the subscribers that you got. At a minimum of $500 for these campaigns, it's a little on the higher side to get the numbers working, and it seems to be more designed for larger companies. I couldn't invest myself. Now, I was happy to see that recently they introduced two other styles of campaigns. One was for YouTube and one for the other major platforms, where they can actually help you get subscribers on those platforms, which I said was a big shortcoming, in my opinion, of the platform as it was. This way, they will get you subscribers on Apple, Spotify, or YouTube. However, the budgets for these ones start with a minimum of $1,000 and also $5,000. Those are the two options. And it was beyond what I'd be comfortable paying to test something out. It's a little steep, and it leads me to put it in a different category altogether in terms of what they offer. So the $500 for the other campaign, okay, maybe we could go with that. It's not too much higher than the other platforms. But as I mentioned, I'm not really a fan of how the whole thing works and how you just lose all those subscribers anyway when you stop paying. I don't get it. I think their primary focus is downloads, and there may be some situations where downloads and download numbers are more beneficial and more of what the podcasters need in their stats for certain reasons. But for me, I want ongoing people to hear the podcast long term. So that didn't really make sense. And then these other campaigns where it would help get subscribers on the big platforms, just a little high for trying it out. So unfortunately, I cannot comment on how well Audience Lift works, but based on the minimum budgets, it does seem best suited for bigger companies. However, if you feel like you want to go down that road, feel free to try it out if that's your budget range. I will also say I did have some back and forth with someone on their team, and they were very good. They were very responsive. They were very friendly. So I love that aspect of it. They seem great to deal with, but for this particular experiment and for what I'm looking for, it just seems to fall a bit outside that, especially since, as I opened the show with, once we found what worked, it's kind of happy just to keep doing that until it stopped working. So to make this leap up to a lot higher of a purchase, a lot higher of an investment, when I already had stuff that seemed to be working okay, just, yeah, didn't make sense for us. But I certainly am open to you trying them. I'm not saying don't try them. Just doesn't make sense for us. And the other one that I want to mention here is called Mopod. And this was mentioned to me by a contact who had tried it. Now, I got to be slightly critical here again because their website is very vague. I don't actually know. I don't know what happens. It's not an app. From what I can tell, it does say that they work with large media companies, and it says they get you downloads. There we are again with downloads. Now, they also offer some higher price tiers for enterprise. That seems to be their focus, where they do have some guarantees in place. However, they also offer a low cost option, which starts at $100 US, which I thought was quite reasonable. So they've got like the enterprise thing where they're much more hands on and able to help you, or the self-serve where you pay $100 and you get a campaign. So I like that they've got those separate options. The contact who told me about Mopod did see some downloads and thought maybe a small percentage of those turned into subscribers, but he said he didn't really see too much from it. Now, this is just one experiment. That was his case. I haven't tried it, which I'll tell you about in a moment. But fair enough, if this is their focus, if their focus is getting downloads, I would expect that conversion rate into subscribers really isn't going to be as high as an option where people are flat out encouraged to subscribe, like on some of the other platforms we discussed here. So if they're more about downloads, that's cool. if you are more about downloads, then that might work for you. But me personally, I want long-term subscribers. That's our sales cycle. That's our funnel. I don't think they're going to download one episode and then become a customer. I need a subscriber when I'm investing money into this type of thing. When we're doing marketing, I want a long-term thing. Now, you could hit them multiple points. You can do other ad targeting, different platforms, whatever. So depends on your strategy, but I just want to highlight that here. And you may need to do this consistently over a period of time to get real results through Mopod as opposed to a single campaign, since they're not focusing on subscribers. Now, as I mentioned, I don't fully know how this works because, again, the website is vague. You are able to schedule a demo, but personally, I would love to see a simple, accessible demo right on the site, right there, showing how it works. Just a video. It has a text description of how things work, but otherwise, you don't get a full explanation. It's just, hey, put in your podcast to pay and we'll get it out there, get you some downloads. I just like to know how things work. Personally, I'm not a big fan of it being vague, and I don't want to schedule a demo just to talk about it. I just want to see it. So anyhow, since the minimum for the lower tier service was $100, I thought I don't have much to lose. I'll try it out. But when I put in my RSS feed link, I got a message that they don't support the hosting that I use. I do self-hosting through WordPress, which is fairly common. Like, it should be compatible. It is compatible with most things. So I'm out. They would not take my money. They could not take my money. They did list many popular podcast hosts that they are compatible with, like almost all of them. Anything that you'd probably be using, it is compatible with. So if you want to try it out for $100, feel free to go ahead. I just wasn't able to. So in summary, it is always worth testing in your own situation. Just because something did or didn't work for us doesn't mean that the same results will happen for you. But we have continued to have good results with Overcast. Although, like I said, I paused it for a bit, but I am going to try that again. And once I pick that up again, I'll just keep going until either it stops working or you just want to focus the budget somewhere else. And the Castro one, I really like also. So I'm going to be trying them out again. And the Player FM, now that I've tried them also and seen pretty good results, like quite impressive results, I'd like to try them all again. Because as I mentioned, we're going to see now with just the campaigns we've done, how the numbers hold up over time. But on top of that, I want to add some more momentum and then see how things work when we add in additional campaigns over time. So probably leave it for a little bit longer, especially the Player FM, because we just did it. I do want to see where the numbers settle after a little bit longer of time period, but I will try them out again, so long as the numbers stay somewhere reasonable and don't completely disappear. Same with Castro and Overcast. Those are the ones that I'm really liking right now for us that worked. That's great. And I'm always open to trying new methods of podcast promotion as well, specifically when it comes to these paid ad services that we've been testing out in this podcast series, which is now two episodes. I'm happy to try more. If there are some that you're a little apprehensive about testing, but you've heard of, feel free to let me know. I'd be glad to check them out. And also, if you've tried any paid podcast advertising on your own, whatever it might be, I'd love to hear your experience with it as well to get some additional data that we can share in a future episode. So if you want to do that, get in touch. You can do so on Instagram at EC Podcast Studio. Join us again next time on Profits Through Podcasting for more insights on how to turn your health-focused podcast into a lead and revenue generation machine for your business. Are you ready to let a team of professionals handle your entire podcast production workflow? East Coast Studio can help you elevate your podcast to the higher quality standards required for credibility in the health and wellness space. Plus, give you the guidance and support needed to podcast consistently, growing your impact and your sales. Visit eastcoaststudio.com to learn more.